Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Cologne Podcast.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Ryan.
And we're usually smelling fragrances on a fragrantical journey and giving uneducated opinions. But today, we're talking about something a little more serious.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about mental health, especially this time of year, around the holidays. Very important.
Right. I think while we see happy, you know, sugar plums dancing in people's heads and stuff, sometimes it can be a little bit more on the difficult side, especially if you're kind of like me, you don't really have your side of the family anymore. So you're just kind of floating. You're just out here, an island of a human, just waiting for a ship to pass by and interact with you. Lonely.
I'm not trying to laugh. I'm sorry. No. Like you're being a little animated for it, but
no, I get what you're saying. I am, but on the real, it can be hard at times. And so we actually talked about doing this episode. I was listening to another podcast.
Hold on one second. I hate to interrupt you. I know all they can hear is me taking this fucking jacket off.
Good God.
I know. I'm a fucking idiot.
I remember my first podcast.
Okay. You were talking about, you were listening to another podcast, not ours. Shocking.
Yeah. As much as I'd love to hear myself talk all day long, believe it or not, Ryan, I listen to other podcasts. And they said in the U.S., the number was 3 times more likely that a male would commit suicide than a female. And now it's grown to 4 times more likely. So 4 times the amount of men end up committing suicide compared to women. It was like about men's mental health. And I thought, you know, we have the majority of our audience, not that this won't be for the ladies as well, but the majority of our audience is men. And I think it would be healthy to take a break and talk about that. And also, as we've tried to open this up and make this a community, this is us saying one more time, if you're out there, you feel alone, we got an email, hit us up.
Yeah, reach out. We'd be happy to hear from you and to respond to you as well.
And we've had people, listeners, throughout the last almost 3 years now, reach out and kind of say that you guys' friendship has really helped me go through a dark time because I felt alone and now I feel like I have a new set of friends.
Yeah, what we have is probably pretty rare. Before we kind of get into that, I want to ask a question, which I think we both know the answer to, but why do you think men are 4 times more likely to commit suicide?
I think because I will use a comedic phrase.
Okay.
Chris Rock says this, and I'm not saying that it's true, but I'm saying it could definitely feel like this.
Yeah.
He says that only women, children, and dogs are loved unconditionally. Men are loved as long as they're providing something.
I feel like that's pretty true.
And so I think at times we feel like if we're not serving some purpose, then we're not either worthy of love or we're not receiving love.
Yeah.
And that could be set up by certain relationship dynamics that are unhealthy, or it could just be our own mental state that makes us feel that way. Maybe it's not true. Maybe we are receiving love, but we don't feel like we're worthy of it because of a place that we are mentally. But either way, I would say the broad understanding from men is kind of that, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. And kind of like touch on it a little bit. I feel like, I mean, you've discussed this. You know, you were raised by your grandmother. I was raised by my mother. Both of them fantastic women. You realize once they're gone,
right,
that's like the last
yeah, we had this conversation.
Did we have it on the podcast?
No. Okay. Just you and I were kind of
saying. Yeah, but it's like, yeah, we realized like that's the last like unconditional love,
right,
that for us as men that we're probably ever going to have. There's just nothing like it. You know, I have a daughter, she loves me, I love her. It's
yeah,
my love for her is unconditional.
Right.
And I'm sure she loves me just as much, but it's so much different than when a mother, a nurturing character, cares for a man, because out here in the real world, outside of them, we never got that.
Yeah, it's more of like they look at you from like your mom, my grandmother's standpoint, and they go, I am not giving up on you.
Yep.
I am not leaving your side.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you get into a relationship, you know that if you for too long do not produce results, that person can easily go, I'm not getting whatever avenue it may be in, I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I need.
Yeah.
Therefore, I have the right to walk away.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard.
It's very hard. It's such a different dynamic than what you grow up with most of your life.
Right.
And then when that's gone, it's so gone. And it's kind of funny just as humans that both sides just can't like step outside of a box and kind of realize how I would think a majority of men are kind of raised.
Yeah.
And know like they were nurtured by their mother. Their dads were always like, hey, pull yourself up. Don't cry. All that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We're kind of built that way. Yeah. I think that is also what makes it more difficult for us to receive something from other people because we've been made to not be a burden. Like we've been told, stop crying. You know? Like you're making everybody feel awkward.
Yeah. Did you just trip and knock your teeth out? God damn it.
Yeah.
You're making a scene right now.
Rub some dirt on it is what, you know, we heard as a kid. You know?
Yeah.
Just rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine.
I'll say my dad, though, luckily, has always been a little bit less like that than most fathers I've seen growing up with their kids. He still had his moments. And I, you know, I'm even guilty of it. You know, with my stepson, I've there's been times where I'm like, man, maybe I was a little too harsh. I'm like, man, you're crying about that? You know, but it's like,
we have to straddle the line between loving them, but also preparing them for what the world is going to be like.
Yeah.
Because that's what we know the world to be like as well, which is nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody. I don't know how it is for women all the time, but I just from a man's point of view, when you get out there in the world, nobody cares what happens to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's maybe that's kind of a dark way to say it, but the majority, I think people that love you obviously want good things for you, but the rest of the world doesn't give a shit about you or your burdens or stress, whatever. They don't care.
Yeah. So if I put the magnifying glass on that, I think the example that you kind of gave with your stepson, which is, was I too tough in that moment?
Yeah.
You're reflecting the things that we're seeing, or at least what we feel like out there, which is no one cares about your feelings.
No.
Just perform.
That's how it feels, man.
So I think ultimately that's what this podcast episode is about, and finding a way to navigate that. Because another thing they said on this podcast, and I don't know if I feel this 100%, but I do agree to some point, is that like they say men's mental health is treated a lot like women's mental health, which is you are worthy, you are good enough, you are loved. And they're saying that men need to feel capable, powerful, in control. You know, and it kind of argues the question of, do you want to be loved or respected? You know, because it's like, I don't care if I'm loved. I want to be respected. But why can't the answer be both?
I was just about to say, why can't it be both?
Yeah. I hear that a lot. Like men go, I don't care if you love me, you will respect me. You know, you will salute me, you know. But I feel like the answer can be both. Why can't we be loved and respected, you know?
I don't know, man. It's such a wild world, dude.
So strange.
You know, I mean, also what we need to kind of touch on and not kind of neglect is that not necessarily just our health, but everybody's health during the holidays and people that have lost loved ones that you're not going to get to experience these holidays with ever again. It's so devastating. It's devastating. Isn't it funny when you're a kid? Remember, we're kids. We're excited to run downstairs and see what Santa left and everything.
Right.
It's like, you know, I think back, you know, I think about like my parents, you know, they lost loved ones, you know, moms, dads. And it's like, once you've lost that, when I lost my mom 4 years ago, that was like, you know, a few months before Christmas.
Right.
God damn, it was brutal. It was like, she's not here to enjoy this. My children are not here to enjoy her.
Right.
So tough. It never gets easier. It never gets easier. And every year I feel that way. Or on their birthdays, I hate how much they're missing out. But, you know, you got to put on a happy face for
for everyone else. Yeah. I think that's, and you and I were actually, we were walking around the track like right after Thanksgiving. And I have a cousin who works out in the community that you and I live in.
Yeah.
And we were walking by him and he was actually working around the walking track. And he's, you know, asked me how my Thanksgiving was. I said, oh, it was good. And then he said, it's not the same as Thanksgiving at Nanny's, though, huh? And I was like, yeah, that is true. Because unfortunately, when I lost my grandmother, I kind of lost my connection to the family. She was like where everybody went to.
Yeah.
So that's how I saw all of that side of the family was through her. And right before she passed, she told my aunt, hey, make sure that Mike comes to your house on holidays because he won't have anywhere to go otherwise. Mm. And of course, that aunt dropped the ball because she doesn't love me. But the point was being like, now on holidays, I'm not going to invite myself over to people's houses. So I've really just kind of lost contact with my side, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't, I feel like there are other people like me that don't have anywhere to go, which is okay, but it can be hard sometimes.
No, I totally get that. It's strange to me. It's probably why I've had depression a little bit in my life, because me and you kind of came on that last bit of that generation of like when we were kids. It was nothing for you to travel to go see family during the holidays.
Right.
Now everybody's, I feel like nobody does that as much.
Yeah.
They just trust me, you don't. Yeah. It's the Dillard's isn't draped in freaking Christmas decorations when you go in the mall anymore like it used to. It doesn't feel the same.
It doesn't feel like you're in the best parts of Home Alone.
Yeah. You're like in the worst parts.
Yeah. You're like, alone in a big city without family. <You're> like, people are trying to kill you.
You see Santa Claus getting off, clocking out outside, getting into a beater.
Yeah, smoking a cigarette. Yeah,
that's how it feels now. But but no, it is like a big part. Like you grow up and you have this solid foundation, if you will,
yeah,
of your family and what you know. And then as you get older, you realize, and I think this has probably happened over time with probably every generation, but as you get older, things start to kind of drift away. You don't lose people necessarily just because of death. Sometimes you just grow apart with other family members, or like in this case, your grandmother passing, then it's like people that should have been like, hey, let's step up and talk more. You know,
yeah,
you
don't. The tough part is like, it isn't their responsibility though. You know, it's just because my grandmother was like, man, I'd really like for this to happen. You know, I also get why it doesn't happen. It's not their responsibility. And I wasn't like their kid. I was, you know, very much like one of my grandmother's kids. So I understand that. But it does make the season more difficult, especially because now I basically just go to her grave on holidays, which is a weird feeling. It's like a good feeling and it's a hard feeling, but it's a sobering feeling. But let's slide into the friendship aspect, because I want to give a little bit of story about me, and I hope that a lot of guys aren't vibing like this. But before you and I really became really close, and then also there was one dark season in our friendship that I was very, very depressed. Yeah. And I think what a lot of people do is they put the smile on for everybody. They're the Robin Williams out there that make everybody laugh and they look the happiest. There's actually this commercial about like depression, and it's two friends, and it shows them on the bus ride to like a big sporting event.
Yeah, I've seen which one you're talking about.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, one of the friends is like quiet to himself. The other person's got freaking clackers in his hands, and you know, and he's like wearing a big you know, spindle hat, and he's like laughing with everybody, and they go to the game, and you know, everybody has a good time. And then it shows that like one of them has, you know, committed suicide, and then it just shows a friend like putting the hat on the seat.
Yeah.
And it was the happy guy that had committed suicide. And then the sad guy was the one where it's like, some people just don't show how they're feeling and you would never know.
Oh yeah.
You know? And I was very much that guy where now I'm a little bit more disgruntled and I'm a little bit more outward with how I'm feeling. But there were a couple of things that really got me out of that really, really dark season. One was our friendship. And then the other was I just started walking a lot.
Yeah.
And since I started, I've not stopped. Even when I eat like crazy and I'm in no way trying to lose weight, I still pretty much actively walk almost every single day. I'm doing some sort of physical exercise. Those two things have helped a lot. But I can guarantee you, if you don't have somebody you can lean on at all, if you're completely alone, then it's hard to do anything else to have any sort of motivation. And so I think that's why people really enjoy our friendship, because I know I have. It has gotten me
for
through
sure
a lot of hard times, and hopefully the same for you.
Oh, absolutely. And for anybody out there, I guess kind of from my point of view, because I'm such a loner type.
Yeah.
Very introverted, loner. But when I do get attached to somebody, Mike happened to be that person. I'm like, sink my claws in. Right. Like, I'm not going anywhere, pretty much. It also is kind of a two-way street for people out there. Know that sometimes you're going to have to let your guard down and be open to other people, because Mike is a very, he's crashing through your fucking life, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And so it's like, for me, it was in the beginning, I'm not going to say it was hard, but I was really bad about my communicating with him, or, you know, how I would hang out and I would need to recharge and just couldn't like voice my opinion about that. Like, I felt like he was going to fucking judge me. But it is kind of a two-way street. And I know there's other people out there just like us that you can have a friendship and camaraderie with about life, but it does take you having to pull your walls down and to say things that you might not be comfortable with. Because that's one thing as men, we are so terrible about. All of us are terrible about opening up. And maybe it's just trying to find that right person, you know, you can kind of like talk to about and, you know it's going to stay between you two. But I don't really have anybody else that I can open up like that to.
Yeah, that's, for whatever reason, guys, if we need like the ability to really be vulnerable, but we rarely can, or we rarely feel like we can. Because I have other guy friends that just aren't as close. And at times I've tried to be close with them and like open with them, and it like got really cringy really fast for them. And then we stopped being as close friends because it was like, Mike's a puss. You know, like it gets into that territory. I remember one of my friends, we were in like a friend like group kind of hanging out. One guy was going through some shit and he just kind of started opening it up.
Yeah.
And one of the other guys said, just fucking drink beer like a man. And like, just like drink your problems away, numb yourself, you know? So weird. And that was him like trying to be supportive and tell him like, here's what I do. I drink a lot, you know, it helps.
God, try this. We're so fucking dumb, man.
But friendships are very much, you get out what you put in. And not every person is really open to having that type of relationship. We just lucked out that you and I are both like kind of sensitive dudes, and we lined up at the right point to where when we were able to be vulnerable. And it took time. We've known each other for a long time now.
Yeah.
It took time to even get this far. You know, you can't just jump into the deep end at one. You know, at the first day I met you, I was like crying on your shoulder. You'd be like, God, get me away from this guy. But we've worked up to the point where, the more you put into the friendship, the more you kind of let the walls down, the more you're going to get out of it.
I'm not trying to pick on, you know, whoever you out there in a relationship with somebody, if they have a problem with you spending time with friends.
Yeah.
And I will say one caveat, though. If you're just going out to go drink all the time.
Right.
I'm not, like, shaming you for doing
how
that.
How you're spending your time with your friends.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. If you're doing regular, you know, some chill shit.
Right.
Real bonding type stuff. Like, if they've got a problem with that, I don't want to say, like, be an asshole and address it. But that is kind of a problem, too, that a lot of men find in relationship is that their significant others are not comfortable with them stepping out for even a second, which is so weird. I don't know why that is, because I've always been very just like, oh, you're going to go hang out.
Supportive go of that. Yeah, which is weird, too. Yeah, like if you're a guy and you're hanging out and let's say you and your friends go to the bar and you're actually kind of chasing tail and you're in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, your partner would not be cool with that, and it makes sense
that
not to.
That does make sense, yeah.
But if you've been very clear at, like, oh, me and Ryan are going to go hang out and do this specific guy thing.
Yeah.
Whether it's if we're going to come to a podcast or we're going to go smell fragrances or we're going to go out to eat or we've
get our nails done.
Yeah. Hey, we've gone and, you know, we went to the spa, we hit the sauna, we had massages, and then we ate some gummies and and ate everything else after that. So, I mean, we've done guys time. I think, but it would go the opposite way too. If you're a partner, you could tell like, oh, I can trust them, but they need their own personal time, you know. But if your partner is going out and going to bars and the same type of thing, we're basically saying you're not asking to go act single. You're yeah. asking to actually have relationships with other people.
And that is okay.
And have friends, and that is 100% fine. And if they're not okay with that,
yeah,
they're assholes.
Absolutely.
But if you're using that opportunity to go do things, if you are saying you're in a committed relationship, you're going to do single guy things, then you're the asshole.
Absolutely. I think we play both sides of that perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Okay. Just making sure. But yeah, 100% that I'm at that point where if I am not allowed to have, if I'm not allowed to pour into and invest in your and my relationship, it will determine how I handle other romantic relationships, because this is as important as if you were my brother.
Yeah.
You know? So how do they help themselves, Ryan, if they're feeling down right now?
Man, that is a hard thing to answer because it's so, you know, it's
upon, it's nuanced, right? Each person is a little different.
Yeah. For me, I will kind of double stamp something Mike said earlier with the walking. If you are kind of feeling down, simply just going walking every day for 30 minutes minimum, I promise you will make a huge difference. When I was a lot younger, going through high school, I suffered, and I still suffer with it. I'm such an introvert. I have social anxiety. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody when I say this, but I'm not like weird about it anymore like I was when I was younger. I don't let it affect me. It's yeah. there, but I just kind of push past it all the time, right. if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
but
you kind of live with it better.
Exactly. I've understand to live with it better and know what I need to kind of, you know, decompress and to be able yeah. to refuel my energy to take on, you know.
Me.
Yeah. That or public events and stuff.
Right.
But when I was growing up, it was really tough. School was really tough. I had such bad anxiety. I felt like everybody was looking at me all the time. Of course, you find out when you get older, nobody gives a fuck. Yeah,
no one cares.
I could be bleeding out in the street and people just like yeah. step over me to like get their McDonald's.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, get a job, you bum.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But I'd went to different psychologists and psychiatrists and, yeah. you know, counselors during that. And I actually found one young lady in the town we're at finally after like multiple ones, and she got me, and that's why I'm kind of trying to say this a little bit. It's like you were saying, it's kind of nuanced, everybody's different. She understood my capability, what I take in information wise and she just showed me like in a book, in the actual book, learning, you know, what they've learned from, this is what you got and this is how it kind of happens,
right?
And she was like, I just try this, because she knew that I didn't want to be on medication. That's another thing, us as men are very
yeah,
I don't want to be, I have to live on this thing, may help me live, you know. So she was like, look, take the medicine, I want to say it was like Paxil or something at the time. A really small dose. I was a kid. But she was like, I just challenge you to just go walk every day and then we'll slowly wean you off. And we did that. And I just saw how much walking really does help. Now, look, I'm not in great shape. As fat as I am, though, I can walk my ass. I can walk yeah. for a pretty good bit. But I will tell you, and I need to get back to it, it does make a difference to walk. You're releasing natural serotonin.
Yeah.
You're getting sun. You're breathing in fresh air somewhere, yeah. wherever you're at.
Wherever you're at, maybe not, you know.
But it is a huge boost to you. And after a while, you will start feeling a little bit better. Things are not going to be easier. I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing. Life is going to be tough.
And it depends on what you're going through, too. There are certain situations. A friend of mine I recently had lunch with, he just went through a divorce. He just got fired at the same time. He's
damn
going through some shit. And that guy's, he's in therapy. He's on medication. That's working for him. Yeah. Me, my doctor put me on medication. I think it was Lexapro. Mm-hmm. And after you and I started like walking regularly, and at that time, also because you and I were walking together, we would talk just about random shit, you know, 30, 45 minutes. I slowly got myself off that because you had noticed. You were like, man, you are not yourself on this.
Yeah, I was about to step in and say, for people out there, if you can't see a sign yourself, some of that stuff can be, I'm not trying to scare people, but it can be kind of dangerous because I know Mike's kind of like baseline, if you will.
Right.
And the energy he brings, everything. And he was taking this medicine at the time. I just was just noticing, like, really quickly. I was like, man, I was like, you're too neutral.
Yeah.
Which is you really scary.
You were going through some stuff. And at one point, you just go, I feel like you don't give a fuck what I'm saying right now. And I was like, no, I do. But I had this, like, kind of... And to be real with you, for a few weeks, it was pretty nice to not give a fuck. But I was like, I was just kind of like, yeah, whatever, about everything. And that's not me, though.
Yeah, it's not. And that's what I tried to tell you then, and I would tell anybody now, is like, you're going to have issues in life. But right. It's to live in your own skin and how you are. That's why I'm like, I'm not anti these type of medicines, because I think they do serve a purpose.
Yeah, like I said, my friend, he's really going the...
medical route.
Yeah, it works for him.
Yeah,
he's in a far better place than he was. And even talking to him, we just had like really good healthy conversation, but he was just telling me everything he's kind of going through, how he's, I mean, now they have these like rapid eye therapy and stuff, which is, it kind of blows my mind. But so like REM sleep, like rapid eye movement sleep, that is when you take everything you've experienced throughout the day and it kind of writes it onto your hard drive. Until then, it's like a temporary storage, you know?
Yeah.
Rapid eye therapy reverses that.
Hmm.
So it's basically like, in a way, and I'm probably oversimplifying this, and people are going to be like, you know, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about. But from the way he was explaining it, it's my friend. He's dumb. I'm smart. He's dumb. He was saying, that's basically, it unwrites stuff off your hard drive. Obviously, you know, you can never delete anything 100%.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy.
It helps with that. So he's gone through all this different stuff. And for him, you know, this is all working great. For me, I had to find the balance in my own life to where I just said, I like to be all in with everything I'm involved with. Yeah. So if something's not healthy for me, not good for me, I have to find a way to cut it out. Because if I leave it in, I will continue to be all in and it will continue to hurt me. So for me, I think if you've met me, it's like when Ryan and I go to a store, Ryan's like, hey, how y'all doing? Hey, everybody. Oh, that looks like a beautiful cake. Oh, I should get that. I'm not going to say a word to anybody. I don't want to interact with anybody. If somebody's like, hey, good morning, I'm like, yep. And then it's like, just keep on going. And that sounds terrible, but it's like, when I'm for you, I'm 100% all in.
Absolutely.
But that limits the amount of
energy you have for other shit.
For everything else. Yeah. So I'm just like, but if I'm convinced, I'm a friend for life. I don't care if I've only known you a day. If I feel like I'm vibing with you, and like you're a genuine person.
Yeah.
And even if I don't like it, there's a friend that I work with in photography, and she has the most abrasive personality. I don't even really care to be around her, but I love that she is so 100% like authentically herself that I'm like, I got to keep this person in my life, because it's rare that you find somebody that just like lets it all hang out, so to speak. And so I'm like, I'm cultivate that relationship because I'm like, I love that she is her 100% herself.
Yeah.
You know, the same way with you. It's like, there are times when I'm like, God damn it, Ryan, what is wrong with you? I'm like, oh, wait, that's Ryan. I'm like, I love Ryan because Ryan is 100% Ryan all the time to me. So I love that too. But that is how I have learned to slowly handle things. I've just learned that I'm going to be all in no matter what. So if that relationship's not healthy for me, then I need to remove myself from it. Because if I don't, I'm going to continue to pour into a bucket with holes at the bottom of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to get a little off subject here for just a minute. Kind of a couple of different things. So it may be me rambling. I'm sorry.
Just get to it.
But, you know, I'm just here to kind of tell everybody, life is not going to get easier. It's always going to be hard. There's always going to be hurdles. And that's okay. And I've had a few hurdles recently that have been thrown my way. One fixed, and then literally a week later, another one pops up. One of them being my father just about 4 days ago, he had a stroke. And at the time of that, when it happened, I brought him to the hospital. It was pretty bad. And immediately, like, I had PTSD because I had to deal a lot with my mother when she was going through what she was going through right. 4 years ago prior to her passing. One thing I guess just to rant on, because I had so much PTSD about it, my immediate thought was like, man, if something happens and my dad has to be in a home that something that needs 24-hour care, if something happened, like, it wrecked me because I know how it's set up, you know? Yeah. And part of me is telling you in the beginning of this, like, hey, life's hard. Everything sucks. Accept it. But there's some things I really think as humans, as individuals, experiencing this life together, I don't understand why we fight so hard between classes, between politics, when things like healthcare, for me, I don't give a fuck how it can make sense. Right. Make the shit make sense.
Yeah.
Why is it so convoluted? And I just had so much bad to kind of drive the reason why I'm thinking this way right now. When my mother passed, I won't go into crazy detail, but it was brutal. Very painful.
Yeah. I can't imagine what you were going through her. Just because the limited exposure that I had to it was overwhelming.
It was unreal. And the amount of pain she went through prior to her passing was just, it's insanity. And the best care she got during her whole last 2 years of her life of hell, the best care she got was a nonprofit hospice organization. And it's just, it was so crazy to me to see. And she lived in hospice for about 21 days and didn't eat for 21 days, slowly passing away. But during that time, not that they didn't feed her, they gave her, she wants some, she wouldn't, sure, she just had no appetite. But the level of care, concern, bedside manners, how they treated family and loved ones, not just of us, of everybody around us. And there was tons of people going through the same thing in this place. It was a big place. It was unreal. Full coverage. I mean, people on hand, people moving patients every hour or so they don't get bed sore, stuff like that. Just unreal. And it still kind of pisses me off to this day why it can't be like that in medical. My mother retired as a nurse.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know how much love and concern she put into it. And I feel like everything today, and it's not just hospitals and stuff, so I'm not just ranting on this, but it's like,
right,
everything is such a subscription now. Everything is such a for profit. And I don't feel like, as humans, because you got to keep in mind, this kind of thing kind of built up fast. Like, this for profit subscription-based living.
Right.
It's like, this is something that popped up in the last 100 years. Humans have been, you know, going through life for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, we at this generation are being, you know, shoved down our throat. We're gagging on it. It's like, we had to live this shitty existence and not speak up about it. And I just feel like it goes past politics. I feel like it goes past your religion. I feel like it goes past everything to just go, hey guys, can we make things make sense for some certain things?
This is why I like beat the table most of the time when we talk about the fragrance community, because I'm like, why the hell are we taking shots at each other all the time? You know, I'm always going like, life is so hard. Why are we trying to create friction with one another over dumb shit? Because examples like this, when the stuff you went through with your mom, you have a friendship where you kind of know how, when people need space and when people need you close. And it was like, at times you needed to handle shit. After she passed, we cried together. And that is like something I didn't go, oh God, I feel gay for crying with another man. You know what I mean? Like, when we were growing up, that's what we would get. Like, you're a pussy, you're gay, you're whatever. You're not allowed to feel emotions. And I think what you're kind of highlighting is life, no matter what, is going to be hard. You've got to learn to navigate your emotions, to cultivate relationships where you're allowed to feel those around people and you can get whatever kind of support you need, whether you're somebody who needs to feel like some people are just going to be there for you and be solid ground, or you need to feel like you're capable of handling those things, find and cultivate relationships that allow you that sort of support. Everybody needs something different. But I know for me, when I feel like I lost all family, Ryan took a lot of that on his shoulders. There are times, I mean, we were already close, but after you went through that with your mom, and then right before that, I went through that with my grandmother. Now you and I talk to each other 10 times a day, probably. We call each other every single day if we're not sitting down. And I'm not saying everybody's going to find a friendship like that, because you may have brothers or you may have family members or whatever. The point is, though, you can't be out on an island by yourself. You really, we are built for community. So find ways, even if it's through a stupid little hobby like fragrances, find ways to connect and interact with people, build strong relationships. That's my goal. If I meet people, you know, I met 100 people at Essence, but there were 3 or 4 guys there that I was like, man, I really jive with these guys. I'm going to do my best to build a bridge, to become friends, be a support system, and I'm just going to let it all hang out. I'm going to let all my energy and emotion and who I am, I'm going to just put it all out there. And some people vibe on that and they go, oh, this is cool. This guy's really helpful, or he's really nice, or he really cares. And some people are like weirded out by that. Oh, this guy cares too much. That's weird. You know, I think the more genuine you are, you'll find people that will like that, and the ones that don't will be repelled by that and they'll just go away. And so what? But don't fight for those relationships either.
Yeah.
If somebody is like weirded out by the fact that you really want people that care as much as you do, you really want people as invested as you are, and they don't want to be that, I've just learned over time, just let them go.
Yeah.
Because I've had friendships that I've tried to make work that way. And over time, it just hurt. And then after a while, it's just like, I just got to let those go and really connect. And it means that you probably won't be as close with as many people. You'll have a smaller, closer-knit group of friends, but those friends will be there for you.
I will have to say, for somebody like your personality type, very outgoing, extroverted personality, that probably is a lot tougher. For me, that kind of stuff is like, great, I don't have 100 people I have to talk to, you know?
Right, yeah.
I'm like, I just got Mike, I'm good, like, you know, but it probably is tough wanting to have, not saying that you don't like what you have here, but I'm saying I think your personality type, you probably do like to have a network of support, you know?
I think the way we interface with different people, like my version versus your version, is like, yes, like I want to, whenever I'm interacting with somebody, I'll give you a brief moment where we can be surface level. But if we spend enough time around, then I'm going to want to be real.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to have, I'm like that guy you see on like speed dating shows where they're, it's like, can we just cut the bullshit? I want to get down, you know, where, where's your trauma at? You know, what do you love? What are your life goals? I mean, at one point I remember I had even like, at this point, me and Steve had been like messaging back and forth for a while. And I messaged him. I was like, so what, I was like, man, you really killed those fitness goals, man. What are your life goals? Tell me what you really want out of life. And he's like, what? Are we on a date right now? You know, like, that's kind of weird, you know, but that is just, that's me. I'm like, I want to dig down deep, you know, and like, I will let it be surface level for a while. But after a while, I'm going to go like, hey, if we're going to be friends, I'm investing in you. And if that's weird, then cool. Now I know the line. And now I know, like, I'm not going to pour in as hard if that's weird for that other person, you know. But I'm looking for those relationships where we can cut to the chase, be real. And that helps me. That makes me happier in life.
I hope this episode was helpful to at least one of you guys that listened to us. It may have been all over the place because Mike hit record and then he was like, I guess we're going live, huh? And I was like, well, hell, do we need to plan this? He's like, ah, let's
see. Riff. Yeah.
But I did want to say, to kind of retouch real quick about my father, like, he's doing better.
Yeah.
Way better than I thought he was going to do. Just to tell you, the brain is incredible. He Mike's perfect timing.
Sorry about that.
He just had to have that drink. But no. But, you know, the first couple of days, I was really, really worried. Like, am I going to have my father, the personality that I love and enjoy? He's very easygoing and funny.
Yeah.
And for a minute there, it didn't look like that. And I guess they said the first couple of weeks are when you're going to see the most turnaround.
Yeah.
Or improvement, to kind of see what you're going to see. And I'm like, wow, from one day to the next, just yesterday when I went and saw him, and I'm probably going to go later here just soon. I'm going to go here in a little bit. But the turnaround was insane. Like, he went from almost childlike, talking to him the other day, to where when I talked to him yesterday, I'm like, man, Dad, they got this TV channel for you? He was like, I don't know what it is, but it sucks. Which is him.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
You want me to change it? He goes, if they'll let you. Right. And he went from not talking to fully carrying on conversation. So I was like, really excited for that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to actually make a good turnaround. They feel that way. They think it's just going to be like a couple of weeks in rehab, just kind of redeveloping a couple of things. But yeah, for people going out there, you know, the reason I brought up is because you're going to have hurdles. I was just throwing one just now right before Christmas, and I already get upset about Christmas time just because I don't have my mom here with me anymore. And so this is just another, like, God damn, it's just... this is how it's going to be. Like, I'm realizing, as much time as I actually spend with my dad, I spent a lot of time with him. We watched the football game this last weekend and having fun. You know, even as much time as I spent with him, I was still like, man, I didn't spend enough time with my dad. Like, is this it? You know?
It's never enough. You know, when you look back, because it goes to like the quality of the time versus the quantity of the time.
Yeah.
I had that conversation because there was recently a meetup of, you know, different photographers, and I went, and they were talking. A lot of them are female because, you know, it's kind of a female type thing now.
Yeah.
And they were talking about when they hang out with their kids, they've always got their camera and they're always snapping photos, you know, but they had kind of hinted too that a lot of them are married, that their husbands work, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm the only provider. And so when I'm with my kids, I really have to focus on the quality of the time, because the quantity is such less because I have to constantly work. So I never bring my camera. We had talked about that one time because you had taken a video of like our kids all went to like a 4th of July thing. Yeah. And I was like, God, I wish I had more videos like that, because it was like you had it was high quality video, you know?
Yeah.
And I forget how you said it, but you were basically like, look, no, you're really good at like being in the moment with your kids.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I've tried to be that as much as possible. I've tried to be as present as possible. And they're old enough now where sometimes I have them help me at certain jobs, you know, and they have fun and they make hella good money and they blow it on Fortnite bullshit. But, you know, so just finding that time to really enjoy them. But life is going to continue to be hard, and we've just got to make the best of it that we can. And when it comes to the mental health thing, unfortunately, there's not going to be a whole lot of people that care about your emotions and what you're going through. So, one, you really have to care about yourself. And then two, I feel like you really need to find those type of people who will really care. And it's hard. We've been friends for a long time, but not friends our entire lives. So, there were still plenty of decades of, you know, blindly groping through before you find that one person that really just connects and you really have. And unfortunately, there are probably guys out there that are 30s, 40s, even up older than that, that still don't have that really close relationship. And when you're younger, it's like important to probably have that role model, you know, so that you're like, you can direct your path in the right direction. But now when we're this age, you kind of just need that buddy, you know, that not that we couldn't benefit from an older gentleman that can help us, you know, but I think now the most important thing is just really finding that person that's just going to like band together with you and go like, I'm in the trenches with you. We're going to, whatever it's going to take. You know, there's been plenty of times where I've called you or you've called me and it's like, I need to get here. I need you to pick me up. I need to whatever. You need to have that person
for sure.
Your life, you know, and it makes the hurdles a lot easier to get over. But the more you isolate, the more you pull back, the harder it's going to be. You really need community around you.
And to kind of harp on community, and let's close it with this. If you guys want to write us, please do. Visit thecolognepodcast.com. We have multiple ways you can reach us there.
Yep.
Reach out to us. We'd love to hear your story. If you're going through something, you need to get something off your chest, we'd like to help in some way we can this holiday other than just, you know, giving you a podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And we're giving out bottles and blah, blah, blah. We're going to be doing that. But for real, the things that matter the most, and the thing that we've been blessed with, at least now, since we have a smaller, more tight-knit audience of people, is that we've really got to know some of you guys, and we really do care.
Yeah.
So if you haven't reached out and you need to reach out, shoot us an email by going through the website. The Gmail's on there. Just get a hold of us. Let us know what you're going through. This is not an empty promise. We really do care. And hopefully we can kind of spread a little bit of merry and brightness during this time, which it should be a time of celebration and excitement and family. But if you're out there and you're feeling some of the things we're talking about, then holler at us. We are here.
And until next time,
spray it up, y'all.